Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
You're the name above all names. You're so worthy of all praise. And our hearts will sing, how great is our God. Somebody say, He's the name above all names. And you're so worthy of all praise. How great is our God. One more time. You're the name, you're the name above all names. Sing it. Worthy. You can be seated. How many know we serve a great God? We serve a great God. Although the Spirit of God did put on my heart in the corner over there to read Psalms 147. And I looked up Psalms 147. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He gathers together everyone. It's His will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, the mighty and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of the man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. Praise the Lord. I believe He's here this morning. I know He's here. One more thing. Could I get all the, I want all the teenagers just to stand up real quick. All you teenagers, stand up. All you teenagers. All right, you can sit down. I had to be demanding a little bit today. Just make them do something. Anyway, I'm just kidding. How many know He has a plan? God has a plan for your life. And I've talked to the kids about this before, and I've mentioned it on Wednesday nights. You know, so often we read Jeremiah 29:11. You know, He knows the plans He has for us. You know, plans for us to prosper, to give us a hope and a future and expect it in. But we always leave the next two verses off. Always. Especially high school theme, graduations, you know, Christian places. They just want to focus on, He's got a plan for you. He does. God's got a plan for everyone under the sound of my voice right now. Even if the live stream's on. God has a plan for your life. But here's the catch. He said, you'll never know it until you search for Me with all of your heart. Seniors, if there's any advice I could give you, you guys know I love you with everything inside of me. I'll do anything in the world for you. I've always been there and did my best to pick you up. I'll never break you down. I always want to hear from you. I always want to see you prosper and do great things. But if you do not seek the voice and the heart of God, you'll never understand the will for your life. You'll never understand it. You'll never know it. And that's the most important part. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." That's what God's looking for today. God's looking for all of your heart. When Pastor talked about those ladders, I've been there, Pastor. I've been there. That's why I feel so unworthy and so undeserving to even be a part of this, to be able to stand here this morning, because I'm a testament that God will reach down and rescue you and bring you out of a religious mud hole. I feel like David, the where I said, God brought me out of a miry pit. But when he brings you out of that pit, he does not leave you abandoned. He sets your feet upon a firm foundation. He sets your feet upon a hope and a future. And just to let y'all know, because I know we have a lot of visitors here, and it's okay, I'm gonna just fully warn y'all. It may get a little aggressive up here. It just might, but it's not anything out of my heart of condemnation or hate, because I believe that we need to preach righteousness and truth, but we also preach hope and love and mercy and grace. Because there's a God that restores and brings us back, and there's a God that makes all things new. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's the maker. He holds everything in his hands. He knows the number of stars in the sky. He names them. He knows the number of grains of sand on the, how incredible is that? He knows it all. And he has us in the palm of our hand, yet he desires your heart. He desires fellowship with you. But how many know you need a plan? You have a plan in life. I know it's going to be a little different for first service. I was thinking, I said, God, give me a way to open this. And I have something down, and I just really didn't like what I had down. And this is a little different from first service. But my wife and I, and my mother-in-law, we just finished building houses, and we moved in this week. Thank God. We're, don't clap too much now. It's still a process. y'all don't realize how much stuff we have. We're gonna have to have an estate sale, an estate sale. So be prepared. There will be stuff on Facebook. God bless you. But how many knows you have to have a plan to build a house? Everything has to be laid out, designed. Everything has to be, you know, taken care of properly. And there has to be a plan, and that's the same thing with God. God has that laid out perfectly for you. But there's a process you have to go through, a building process. You have to build that house from the foundation up, from the ground up, right? I mean, you can't build it without dirt, without, I use the chain wall, what I call a chain wall. Some folks use monolithic slabs. And you gotta have walls, gotta have plumbing, sheetrock, insulation. I hate talking about this stuff right now, just over the last 12 months. No, you have to have that. You have to have a plan, but God has a plan for your life, young people, and here's what we're gonna dig into. He has a perfect plan for your life. And here's what's great. Most of you guys are athletes and you're a part of sports, and you have to understand that in sports and athletics, you have to have a plan. You set a game plan up, right? You get it ready, you work all week, you bust your tail, you work out hard, and you prepare your life and your body for this. And whether it be basketball, soccer, even cheer, some of y'all are in competitive cheer, golf, some of y'all even in choir competitions, you have to prepare to sing right notes. And I like the choir folks. Anyways, some of you are in dance, some of you are in band. And y'all have to prepare, y'all have to have a plan. And we all know You have to be strategic in every one of these areas, whether it be a playbook, whether it be a musical piece, it could be a cheer you do, a game plan. We prep and we plan to study just for this one moment, right? One moment in life. And here's what's crazy is we sink all kind of time, effort, thousands of dollars into just one moment, one game, one competition. And it's really just temporary satisfaction. We put our heart and our soul for just a brief moment of glory. And here's what's crazy is when you're on a football field, I played football, so I can use this. You have an opponent, you have an opposition, you have someone, an enemy, that's scheming on the other side and is waiting to expose your weakness. And do you realize, Jesus told Peter, he said, the enemy wants to sift you as wheat. He said, the enemy wants to take everything good out of you. He wants to remove everything that's good out of you. He wants you distracted. He wants your mind off what's important. He wants to get involved in your game plan. Wants to get involved in what you're doing. And we wonder so often why our kids are so engrossed by TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram. We wonder why it was developed. We're surrounded by so many distractions. I see it. I see it week in and week out. A starved nature for attention. And there's one desiring to give you all the attention you want. There's one that's willing, wanting, waiting to show you all the love that you could ever imagine having. Here's what we have to do. We have to surrender. We must relinquish control, guys. God is looking for availability, a heart and life fully surrendered to Him. The only way to surrender is we must crucify this flesh. It's the only way you'll ever surrender your life is to put this flesh and bring it under subjection. And that only comes by surrendering to Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. I'm going to break it up a little bit. Just bear with me. But verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What a great plan, huh? That's a great plan, right? We can pray and go home after this verse. That's what I put down here. I was like, this prayer ain't go home. We can leave. It's fine. Got preached to. Amen. This isn't just a Sunday experience, guys. We don't just randomly pop up, say, you know what? I think I'm going to go to church. I think I'm going to be good today. I think I'm going to do good. I think I'm going to live in the Spirit today. I think I'm going to do what God wants me today. That's not how it happens. Here we go. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little nervous right now for some reason. I know it's the enemy doing everything he can to distract. Just bear with me. We have such a distorted, perverted mindset in this day and age. We're living backwards. We want to live together, we want to have a baby, and then we want to think about marriage if we love one another after it's all said and done. Guess what? That's not God's plan. Can I tell you something, young ladies? And you know I love each and every one of y'all. But if that boyfriend isn't willing to commit to you, you better pack your stuff up and you better run. You better run. First Corinthians 6 and 18, you know what he says? He says, flee fornication. He says, run from it. That's not surrender to Christ. That's submission to the flesh. You're not a pair of shoes. You're not a used car. I know some guys think differently, and I'll deal with that separately. Psalms 119 and 14 says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is why so many are broken and undone. We're not fulfilling God's plan, His will for our lives. And I know some of y'all are like, man, this dude's crazy. I promise you, this is not some hate speech. I want these teenagers to know they're about to face a world that absolutely hates you. They do not want to see you live holy and righteous before God. They do not want to see you walk in God's will. They want to mock you. They want to make fun of you. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the greatest friend you could ever have. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's your everything. Verse 17 of Galatians chapter 5 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. That means opposite in nature. They're fighting against each other every day, the flesh and the spirit. That's why we're living such a confused part of life. So many people struggle with things. I hear so often, we were born this way. Let me tell you something. Let's clear the air. We were born into sin. Every last one of us was born into sin. But here's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. We know 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And 17 says, I didn't send my son to condemn this world, but that through him this world could be saved. But you know what Jesus addressed just a few verses before that? Nicodemus said, how must I be born again? But Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew we was going to have a group saying, I was born this way. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. God is for you. He is not against you. He has a hope and a future. He wants you to prosper. There's things we need to address, guys. We're living in such a confused, backward state. Such a confused and broken state. And if you're struggling with things, I've said it before, I'll take you down to the vet and we'll figure out what you are in about 32 seconds. Yeah. I'll roll eyes back to some, it's okay. Verse 17, let me go back to it. It says, for the lust of the spirit, for the flesh lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, they're fighting continuously. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing that you wish. It's a constant battle, guys, for God's will, his plan for your life. But here's what's great. Verse 18 says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're no longer under the law. Why? Because you desire to fulfill the desires of the spirit and not of the flesh. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. And you know what he does? He says, if you hate your brother, you might as well commit murder. He said, if you look upon that woman in lust, he said, you might as well lay in bed with her. That's where Jesus takes it to. That's who he is. That's how righteous he is. But it's a constant battle, guys, a constant battle. And that's not God's plan. But here's the part where you got to put your seatbelt on. This is not God's plan. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are, this is the word, this isn't Rod, this isn't what, you're going to get 90% scripture. This isn't me at all. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath. Sometimes I have to work on that in traffic, I'll just be honest. God, I'm serious, like for real. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. Drunkenness. I'm gonna say that one more time for the people online. Drunkenness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God, I know that's such a sobering truth. It's tough, I know, I promise. I do. I endured the same preaching. But it's when I applied God's love and God's grace to my life, when I walked in it. That word right there will do nothing for you unless you apply it to your life. The devil looked at Jesus and tried to tempt him with it. Quoted scripture. The devil knows more scripture than most of us put together. But that's why he says, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against God. God's looking for a hungry generation that's starving to death for truth. And I believe we've seen it with this generation. We see a generation that's hungry, that's wanting something different, something new. They're tired of everything under the sun, that you get a little headache and you're medicated. You get a little upset and you're medicated. Everything is medicated nowadays. I get so sick of it. I'm just being real with you. I'm real with these kids. I don't hold nothing back. Hope I don't get shot from it, but roll tide. But I get so sick of it, Pastor. We deal with these kids sometimes, not just every once in a while we deal with kids. And they're so medicated. How can we raise them? They don't know up and down. They don't know up from down sometimes, because they're this person on it, that person off of it. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit like never before. When did we stop trusting in God? When did we stop putting our faith in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher? When did we stop this? Don't tell me, oh, it's just a rough life. My mama had 18 kids. I don't feel sorry for you. My mama had 18 kids, 18 years, three sets of twins. And my grandmother had 11 kids. I don't feel sorry for you. I'm just being real with you, being honest. I got three kids. I don't care. That's good. Have 15 more. Roll tide. But here's where it gets good. Here's where it gets good. This is where it gets real good. In this same chapter, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, such there is no law. Because when you're walking in love and peace and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and self-control, you have Christ on your side. And if he's for you, who in the world could be against you? And those who are in Christ, or who have Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's passions and desires in this flesh that we have to put under subjection. Yeah, there's ungodliness, there's fornications, there's perversion. He said, but if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And you can see clearly right here the difference when you're surrounded and surrendered to the Spirit and when you're surrendered to the flesh. God desires you to walk in the Spirit, guys. This is why, and I jumped ahead of myself, this is why we're most of the medicated society ever. We're trying to live two lives. You cannot serve two masters. It's either flesh or the Spirit. It's all it is to it. It's all it is to it. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our comforter. There's times I thought I was crazy, but it's when I let the Holy Spirit work in my life, he transformed everything. There's times I sit on a machine at work and I talk to myself a little bit. I sometimes think I might be a little crazy. I might need some medication. But again, then again, I tap into the Holy Spirit, and that's where he comforts me and he brings me to a level-headed mind, to where it's probably not good to think what you just thought about that person that just pulled out in front of you in traffic. So, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, he said, God's not mocked. He said, for whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. He said, if you sow in the flesh, listen to this, high schoolers. If you sow in the flesh, you reap in the flesh corruption. If you sow in the flesh, you reap in the flesh corruption. This isn't karma. This is the word of God. This is the art of reaping what you've sown. This is the art of reaping what you've sown. We have had so many people preach this hippie-fied Jesus, this wimpy, limp-wristed Jesus who's, I like what Kevin Wallace said, popping Prozac, and said, my God doesn't pop Prozac. My God doesn't need a Prozac. My God sits on the throne. My God speaks life. My God is life. But do you know what the ultimate sign of surrender is? It's the lifting of hands. You know why? When my hands are lifted and open, I don't worry about a cell phone. I don't worry about a cell phone. But I worry about him because my hands are lifted to him. There's nothing else in this world I have to grab onto or I can grab onto because I'm fully surrendered to him. And that's what some of us need to do. Some of us need to just lift our hands, and I promise you, you'll find deliverance. You'll be set free from what you're dealing with in life. When you lift both hands in full surrender, you do not have the ability to hold on to anything else. I look at King Saul and what happened with him. Here's what Saul did. I'm going to try to quicken this thing up. But here's what Saul said. Y'all like that grammar, don't y'all? God told Saul, he said, Saul, here's what I need you to do. I've called you to be king. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I've called you to be king. And he said, I need you to go down there to the Amalekites and I need you to destroy. He said, utterly destroy, remove. Completely get rid of that whole town, everything. Sheep, cows, donkeys, people, wipe it clean. And you know what Saul did? Saul was once a man that was called by God and loved God. But Saul said, you may know the plans, but I think mine are a little bit better. And here's what happened to Saul. Saul came back. Samuel went down and said, hey, you didn't destroy everyone. He said, yeah, but I saw there was some good sheep. I saw there were a few good cows, a couple good ox, some oxen that I could use. I saw there were some good men that I could use at work. You know, some women I could bring in. And you know what happened to Saul? Y'all know the story of Saul? Saul was in battle. He watched his son Jonathan die. In the midst of that battle, Saul's hit with arrows and he's wounded. And he's wounded bad. But he's still functioning. He can still talk. And he told his armor bearer, he said, hey, won't you please just take your sword and just run it through me, kill me. Won't you just run it through me? But at the end of the story, Saul fell upon the sword. But you know why Saul died? You know why he died? He was killed by an Amalekite. What God told him to do away with, that very thing God told to remove from his life and get rid of and completely wipe out, came back and took his life. Isn't that crazy, the things that we hold on to in life? Isn't that crazy what causes us to trigger our mindsets to cause harm to our families, to be ugly, to be aggressive? Some of us can't have peace without alcohol. Don't worry, I feel like Saul. I felt a few darts. It's okay. Some of us can't have peace without it. I can. I don't need it because my hope is in Jesus Christ. He's my comforter. He's my everything. Some of us has got to have a vape. I deal with teenagers. I'm real. We keep it real, don't we? We keep it 100 is what we do. You know, for real is the way we keep it, you know. But some of us can't let go of things in our lives and we find so much comfort in it. And you know what that comfort does for that little deal we have to hold on to? We're saying, God, you're just not enough. You're just not enough, God. You can't provide enough peace for me. I need to get a hold of this. I need to take this. I need to drink this. I need to shoot this. I need to end up in the backseat of a car with this. It's facts, guys. It's truth. I know I told you it was going to be aggressive. Told you it was going to be aggressive, but here's the answer. We must know him. This is how we surrender. We must know him through prayer and the word. David said in Psalms 23, he says, the Lord's my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil because my rod and my staff comforts me. He comforts you in crazy situations. He provides comfort for you. We rely so much on everything else, and we have a God, a Savior that's here for you, wanting to wrap his arms around you and love you and care for you. But when you know him through prayer and the word, he walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Matthew 16, he looks at his disciples. He looks at his disciples and he says, who do they say that I am? They said, some say you're John the Baptist reincarnated. Some say you're Elijah. He said, some even say you're Jeremiah. He said, that's good. He said, but who do you say that I am? He looked at Simon Peter. He said, who do you say that I am? I'll never forget when he said, Rod, who do you say that I am? What if he sat beside you this morning and said, who do you say that I am? Is he just a fairy tale to you? Is he just a tradition, a religion to you? Or is it like Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the anointed one. You're the one that was laid down before the foundations of the earth and gave your life so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. You're my very present help in the time of need and in the time of trouble. I feel like David when he said, I look to the hills and where does my help come from? He said, I look to heaven. I look to earth. I look to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is my everything. I look at Job when Job lost everything. Lost it all. Nothing. Had nothing. I'm scared some folks in here, if y'all lost it all, y'all would, never mind. Y'all couldn't make it at all. But I found out that my hope's in Christ Jesus. And if you ever figure that out and know that he has a plan for you, and if you ever understand and come to the conclusion that I am absolutely nothing without him, and what it's gonna take is you fully surrendering your life to him, you fully surrendering your heart to him, and letting him take over in your life. You want victory? Give it to Jesus. You want hope? Give it to Jesus. You want peace in your life? Give it to Jesus. You want stability? Give it to Jesus. You want a healthy marriage? Give it to Jesus. Look, I'm not up here being self-righteous. Believe me. A year after my wife and I got married, I slammed my finger in the drawer in an angry fit. Lost a thumbnail, blood everywhere. But the Holy Spirit puts everything back together. No matter what you're facing or what you're going through this morning, God makes it new. God makes it whole. At the end of the day, we're just flesh and bone. I understand that. I understand that I'm absolutely nothing without Jesus. I can't make it without him. But if you would ever surrender everything to him, surrender everything to him, he will transform your life. God, I thank you this morning. God, I realize that I'm the least, Lord Jesus. I'm nothing without you. God, if I didn't have you, I would fail every day. I would fall flat on my face every single day of my life. But you're my source of strength. You're my source of help. You're my very present help in the time of trouble, in the time of need, God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to reach down, Lord. Wrap your arms around this congregation. Let your convicting power flow, Lord. Transform lives, God. Y'all can stand. If you're here this morning and you say, Rod, I need to fully surrender my life to Him. I played games. I've tried to straddle the fence. I've lived a comfortable life with everything else providing comfort except for Him. And you say, I need a Savior this morning. I challenge you as the altar team makes their way up. You say, I need a Savior. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me clean. Right now is your chance.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.